What's up, party people? Welcome to Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job podcast. I am your host, L. Ariel, and we're located at musicjobspodcast.com. That's musicjobspodcast with an S.com. I hope you've been checking us out. We have episodes 1, 2, and 3 up on the site right now. We're also available on all the streaming platforms, Google Play and iTunes and Stitcher and more. So I hope that you will like, share, rate, subscribe, tell your friends, all that good stuff. We're all about careers in the music industry. We're all about talking to the movers and shakers and innovators in the industry today who know how to navigate it, who know how to take advantage of opportunities, and to really give us some great advice, wisdom, and inspiration, and motivation. Last week, we had the pleasure of talking to Angela Jolivet, aka DJ Moonbaby, one of the top female DJs in Los Angeles. She also had a decade career run at the Grammys, the Recording Academy, before she started her own music supervision production company, Moonbaby Media. And she's working on Oprah Winfrey's hit gospel TV show, Greenleaf. So it was a great episode, and I hope you'll check it out. My next guest for episode 4 is Sonnet Simmons. She's an immensely talented artist, singer, songwriter, and a vocal powerhouse. She was a popular contestant on ABC's hit reality singing competition series Rising Star, entrancing the likes of Kesha and Brad Paisley. She's had songs placed in ad campaigns for Coca-Cola and Overstock.com. She sang at the Hollywood Bowl and the LA Disney Concert Hall with Kamasi Washington and Miles Mosley. She's a sought-after vocal coach, and her latest chapter is vice president of Catch the Moon Music, pitching indie artist songs to music supervisors and running their very popular online songwriting course. She is a creative musical force to be reckoned with, that's for sure. And she has a very well-formed view of the music industry and how to succeed, especially as an indie artist. So I hope that you get a lot of information, advice, and good direction from this interview. Here's a clip of her beautiful song, Half Your Heart.
Nothing than half your heart.
Hey, how'd you get that music job? Thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
This is going to be so fun.
I know. I'm excited. So you've had such a colorful career. So I'm wondering if you can just start off first by just talking about maybe early, kind of your first memories of music. I really like to start with that just to see how people's love of music was first shaped. So maybe, you know, like, was there a lot of music in your home? Do you remember like the first record or tape or CD that you bought, stuff like that?
I didn't grow up with a ton of music. I mean, I guess I was raised like partly by my grandma, and I definitely had a lot of music influences by there. We would rent like musicals, old musicals, and watch black and white movies. And she'd pick me up from after school. And I guess that was probably the most music influence I had in my life, or listening to music. I just always knew that music was what I wanted to do. There wasn't a lot of people doing music around me that gave me that idea. I was in preschool. I was told that I couldn't bring songs anymore for show and tell, but you know, they weren't even, they would just like get up and like make up songs. And the teacher was like, your daughter is just getting up and singing for the whole time. Like she can't do that anymore. So I've just like always known that that's all that there was for me. There wasn't really like an outside influence on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was there like a singer that you really emulated or admired when you were growing up?
I mean, my exposure was like old movies. So I was like, I love Shirley Temple, The Woman Who Sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow, like Ella Fitzgerald. I just, you know, I was like raised by a grandparent. So a lot of the time there was like a lot of influence from them. I mean, also, I guess my first record was like Joni Mitchell. She was a big influence, but I was 5 at that point, so I was much older.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
yes.
Joni Mitchell probably came in.
So what about just in terms of formal training? Did you start doing music lessons, or was it something you waited until high school, or how did that your kind of your training in music begin?
Well, I always was in choir in school. We moved around a lot, so I changed schools all the time. And my first thing was just join choir, and then I'd make friends, and that was like my way of finding my place in all the new school. I was always learning about it or singing or part of that sort of thing. And I would beg my grandma and my mom for voice lessons. And finally, I think it was like third grade, they agreed, which felt like forever, but actually third grade, I guess, sounds pretty young at this point. But I thought I'd waited forever to finally get them. And then I started studying, and I studied with like an opera teacher, because at that point, they just thought that was the only real way of like teaching proper technique was classical technique. So I studied classical technique for years, and I went to performing arts high school, and then I went to UCLA for opera, because that's really what I had my biggest exposure was. And then I realized that I wasn't all about opera. That really wasn't really my calling. And I changed majors in the middle, and I changed to jazz because those were your two options. And jazz was really challenging for me because it was like you start taking things off the page, you start kind of interpreting the music rather than just doing exactly what you're told, which is what I wanted and craved, but also had no idea how to like let go enough to do that. And it ultimately led me to songwriting, because then you start realizing that you have creative input and intuition that you can kind of start honing in on.
So, I wanted to ask about the performing arts high school. Because that's pretty focused. Did you feel like, okay, I really, because a lot of people, it's like after high school is when they decide, you know, performing arts. Did you kind of decide like, no, this is it. This is what I want to do. So I want to start. I mean, you obviously started voice lessons in third grade, but by high school, where you're like, this is what I'm going to be when I grow up. Like, this is it. So let's just get started by going to the performing arts high school.
I thought the performing arts, yes and no, I guess. I felt like this is what I want to do starting at like age three. There was never a question. So the performing arts, I just felt like this is the only way to get there and still go to school, because I just wanted to like be singing and touring already. But that was the compromise. So, I ended up going to college too and finishing 4 years of school, and, you know, didn't just do the dropout and record touring thing, but in my head, that was the main goal, but that actually didn't ever happen.
So once you graduated from UCLA, that like now you're in the big world. So what's the first thing that you got? What's the first step? Like, what was your first job? That kind of thing.
Well, I just wasn't really prepared for what the first step was. I always had this idea in my head that someone was going to discover me and I was going to get a record deal and then I was going to be famous and I would be able to sing for the rest of my life. And it was at that strange place in the industry where that model was kind of phasing out, but we didn't know what was phasing in, and there wasn't really a path, and it was really gray. And, you know, now you can really see that there's a path for the indie artist and there's so much opportunity around that. But at that point, it was like people were holding on still to this idea of a record deal and getting discovered. And that's what I thought my goal was. I moved to New York partly for a boy and partly because I thought, you know, I would just like try something crazy and new, and moved to New York and met with producers and just learned a lot of hard lessons and didn't get very far other than just like, you know, learning stuff the hard way, and came back to LA a couple years later, just because the people that I really knew and trusted in the industry were here, and started just songwriting, I guess. Finally, I started songwriting. It took me a really long time to actually start writing songs on my own because I just thought somebody else was going to write them.
Yeah, I was going to ask about New York. Like, what I'd love to hear sort of, were you looking at like Broadway or television in New York? What was your focus?
I was meeting with producers that said they could, you know, they would write my songs and produce me and like pitch me to labels.
I see. So it was like straight up artist. It wasn't like trying to do musical theater or anything like that. Okay, got it.
No, it was never musical theater driven. I mean, I like the songs, but it just was never like calling to me. Mm-hmm. So I was just looking to be discovered. That was what I thought was going to happen. I was going to work really hard and find somebody that was going to take me there. But that.
Did you find, and what was like a couple of the lessons that you learned in New York that if you want to share, like what some of the sort of obstacles you faced that you were able to kind of move on from?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest one was just kind of thinking for myself, like, how am I going to make this happen? Because I kept looking for other people to answer this for me, thinking that that's how it was done, that somebody else had the answer, and that the only way to do it was to have somebody creating my reality. And I didn't, it just took me, it was just like, I paid people and they didn't follow through, or they just didn't have the credentials that they thought, that I thought they did. Like, I just didn't know how to weed out the right people. You know, you're just like this young 22-year-old walking around New York, like trying to meet with people, and can be very taken, it can be taken advantage of for sure. And didn't have any guidance from somebody being like, that's not the way it goes. Like, you gotta write your own songs, you know, or something. So I think I finally just, like, after however many producers I'd worked with, that I just was like, I don't like these songs. I don't like who they're trying to make me be. I don't want to be this person. It was just like trying to be, make me like Britney Spears or whatever it might be. You know, it wasn't what I have to offer the world. So it wasn't clicking. And I finally was like, you know, I'm just going to figure out how to write a song, because I don't know where to even start to write a song, but I'm going to try. And that's really when things started to shift.
So when we go into that, so you come back to LA and you're like, yay, I know people and this is home and comforting. And so you get back to LA and what's kind of the first thing that you do when you hit the ground?
Well, I started writing with some people. I started studying voice again, and I created a couple of like gigs. So I had some weekly gigs that I was doing where I was just constantly like working on my chops and getting in front of people. And I just started becoming a part of the network of songwriters and people doing stuff. So I placed one of the first songs that I wrote, which was like a really good way to kind of stay on the path. Like, I was like, I guess I must kind of be on the right path. So I didn't know anything about placing songs. I didn't know anything about it. It just all kind of came together. And I placed one of my first songs with like a Coca-Cola, an amusement park ad that came out, and it was good motivation and like energy that kept me moving towards songwriting, kind of affirmed that like songwriting was the missing key to becoming me as an artist.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty huge placement for a first song.
Yeah, no. And I had no idea. I just had, you know, I was just like, I feel like I was being naive that through, you just don't have any role models. You don't have any guides telling you this is the way it's done, this is not the way it's done. And I wasn't looking outside of myself either. I was not looking for that information. I was like, I got this. You know, looking back, I'm like, there's so many things I could have done differently. But, you know, everything is hindsight. But yeah, it was a great placement. And I don't know if I figured out how to like leverage it as much as I could have. I mean, a lot of really great stuff came out of that. A lot of good exposure was a big, it was a good big ad.
So can you talk a little bit about that just in terms of networking? I think for a lot of listeners that can be kind of a big hurdle to overcome, how to meet people, how to not, you know, you talked about New York, like how to meet the right people, not be, you know, taken advantage of or meeting sort of somebody else's vision. I'm wondering if you can just kind of talk a little bit about that shift in terms of networking and getting your, you know, your material out there, who you are as a singer, artist, songwriter out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because it's not black and white. And I think, you know, I'm one of those people that just like sees the best in everybody and the best in every situation and that there's potential and you just never know. And I think that slows the process down if you can't like just kind of laser see through like this is not going to go anywhere, or like they're not everything that they say they are, or like we're not jiving, you know. And I think that there's something to be said about that intuition that just hits you in the beginning of like, you know, you walk into a co-write with somebody, you kind of know, is this working or not? Like, is this sucking my energy or adding to my energy? Do I feel like we're creating something, or are we like dragging trying to create something because it's just not chemistry, it's not working? So the same thing kind of applies, I feel like, for when you're meeting people, to work with, and you know whether or not this is somebody you can trust, this is somebody that you can work with. And then I also think of doing the research and figuring out what is it that you really, really want, and how do you work backwards? What is it that you want? Who's doing that? How are they doing it? How could you do it? How can you take some of those things and other things not? And like this kind of constantly asking questions outside of the box and trusting your intuition. Does that answer your question? I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, totally. Totally. No, I really like that. Because again, I think that, you know, you have to start with square one, which is yourself and how you present yourself, who you decide you're going to talk to. So it's not just sort of this like, hey, please listen to my song. It's like, okay, who are you? You know, what do you represent? Is this something that I want to move towards? Will this serve me? Will this contribute to my vision? That type of thing. So I think that's really smart. In terms of meeting people, was it through school contacts? Was it just a continuation of people that you'd met in New York? Like how did the actual sort of meet and greet thing continue for you?
I mean, I don't know if I've had it down. I was like looking on Craigslist. I would go to gigs and like shows and follow up with people that I met there. Somebody would be like, oh, I know somebody who's a producer. I know somebody who's a musician. And then you follow up and you meet them and they know somebody and they introduce you to somebody. So it's like this, you just never know what's going to happen. So you kind of just try to look under every rock, which is exhausting. And some of it has to be done. Like you do need to show up. You do need to kind of meet the people. You never know what's going to happen from meeting one person that meets, you know, introduces you to another person and just being in those places where things are happening. But also it's exhausting and you can't just keep doing that for everybody, giving everybody that chance. So I feel like you kind of taking some assessment and being like, is this worth my time? Or like, what are my goals? Being really clear on what your goals are so that you know, does this align with where I'm going? Or is this just like distracting me from what I'm doing? And I would have tend to be like, well, they're nice and I kind of like them. And, you know, like, let's just see if we can do something. But it, rather than be like, this doesn't really fit into my goal at all. Like, yeah, they're cool, but it doesn't, you know, like this isn't really what I want to do. So I'm going to spend all this energy just because I'm kind of distracted from where I'm really going. I think keeping that really focused, like what does it take? What do I need? How do I work backwards? Is this in line with my goal? Keeps you on.
Yeah, it's true. It's really true. And I think also, you know, then you're not wasting anybody else's time either. You know,
yeah,
you're,
of course.
You're like, okay, I know what, I mean, it's been an interesting journey for me because it's like, I'm a, you know, producer who plays synths. Okay. Well, what kind of synths? What kind of music? Is it trap? Is it hip hop? Is it like, you know, electro pop? Like you start to get in, you start a kind of like burrowing down into more and more subgenres. And then you realize like, oh, I'm actually a very specific type of synth player that produces very specific type synth music that appeals to a certain audience. Okay. These types of people would be able to help me. So I think, again, getting back to your earlier point about like self-knowledge of who you are as an artist and what you want, I think is, you know, invaluable in terms of really getting to your goals and getting to them as efficiently as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally true. I mean, and I think it's not just, I think going out into the world and not just being like, what can you do for me? Like there's a, because that's not what I mean either. Like you're not just will they, you know, support where I'm going? It's more of just like, is this worth our time? Like, are we creating something that's going to be moving us both in the direct, you know, do our goals align? Can I do something for them? Because you're constantly, you know, you want to have that reciprocal energy when you're working with somebody, when you're meeting somebody, that you're helping solve their problem too. And that's how things really move forward, is having that sort of, I think a lot of artists go in there, what can you do for me? This like world is based on here in LA. And I feel like that also is very limiting, but it's also really keeping in mind, like you don't have to just let everybody into your life. You let the right people into your life. And you also, you know, it's a reciprocal energy. It's not just about, can you do this for me? It's about what can we do together?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Thank you for bringing that up. And I think it will be more long lasting and more fruitful relationships going forward, as opposed to,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely. And then Everybody loves working together and you create tons of things, you know, or they, they want to go out of their way, and you want to go out of your way, and you want to go above and beyond, and you really, you know, push the limits.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Thank you for that. So now, singer, songwriter, performer, producer. So now what? Now you're, do you want to share what you're working on now?
Yeah. So now, so I guess like a year ago or over a year ago, I started, I guess I was on this television show. It was a reality, like one of those singing reality TV shows on ABC. And I did pretty well. It was a good show. Afterwards, I just felt like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. Like, this isn't, you know, I'm really been like pushing at this for over 10 years. I'm not making a living doing music, and I don't know if I ever will. And I don't, you know, it's like, I don't know. Like, it just is, I was kind of heartbroken around it because I was like, here I am putting my heart out into this show. Mm-hmm. And you have millions of people viewing you. And like, what is it for? Because at the end of the day, nothing comes of it. And you're mm-hmm. just like, it's just a show. It's all just smoke and mirrors. And like, is that the reality that I want? I want sustainable happiness and something that's going to be satisfying. And I don't want to just be this struggling artist for this idea of what I think my life should be like, or my career should be like. And then I get there and it doesn't actually make me happy. And so I was like, I'm just done with music. Like, this is like heartbreaking. I mm-hmm. love music, is what I've always wanted to do, but I can't be this close to it anymore because it's hurt. Then I met this woman, Gabby Heller, and I took one, I was just like my last, like, okay, I'm just going to try this one thing. She reached out to me in a very personal, beautiful email and said, you know, come to my class. I'm teaching this class on writing for sync. And I was like, all right, this is my last like little push. I'll do something, you know, maybe this will inspire me somehow. I mean, kind of knowing that like, I could never really give up music if I want to be a happy person in the world. Mm-hmm. And so I went and she just kind of blew me away. She's just, you know, she's an incredible woman who has a lot to say. She's had a lot of success around sync licensing and a really positive entrepreneur making really big things happen. And so I was like, well, I kind of want to work for her. Like, I want to learn everything that she's doing. And she's so amazing. Like, how can I help her? There's got to be something I can do to like, something I can offer. So I kept kind of, you know, I was like, well, can I work for you? She was like, sure, you can, you know, intern, you know, whatever, like an intern for a while. And I just kept showing up and I was like, I'm here. I'm so in it. I'm here. I'm going to write these songs for sync and I'm going to like figure out the business side. I'm like, my eyes were open to a whole new way of looking at world and business. And I just felt really like I was utilizing parts of my brain I hadn't really didn't know how to tap into before. And so I started working for her and I started helping her run her licensing company. That was about a year ago. And she also teaches some online courses on writing for sync. And I started helping her with those. And so now I'm helping run Catch the Moon Music, which is the company. I'm VP of the company. So I'm pitching to music supervisors. I'm signing new artists. I'm talking, you know, we represent indie artists. I'm pitching my music, of course, as well, for things that really work, that it works for, it applies for. So I have an outlet for my writing and I'm learning what's, you know, always being asked for. And then we're teaching these online classes. So I'm constantly sharing all that information with other people that are songwriters who are lost and kind of don't get it, didn't get all the pieces. And not they don't get it, but, you know, they just didn't get all the pieces together, helping them piece those pieces together because now I'm seeing the whole picture. And so that's kind of my life. So I'm like recording as much as I possibly can and I'm running a company and teaching classes and performing. I have like a still perform and I do session work and just trying to make it all move forward. I mean, you know, so the artist side of things could use a little more love, but I'm writing and songwriting a lot and it just ebbs and flows. But I feel like all the sides of my brains are, all the parts of my brains are on, are firing and they're working and I've got control and understanding and there's sustainability in this for the first time.
That's in a great. Long time. Yeah, that's excellent. Do you, because you've now, I mean, that's the thing that's so fascinating about your career. You've really covered such different aspects of the music industry. Do you have any sort of final thoughts or insights or advice that you'd want to share just about, you know, kind of the state of the music industry today, what it means about being an independent artist and looking at the landscape landscape and trying to kind of determine which way to go? I know that's a lot, but pick one and run with it.
I mean, I would say that, you know, today more than ever, like nobody else has all the answers. You can create the reality that you want to create, but you've got to put in the work and you've got to show up and you've got to figure out, like devise a plan. And so there's a lot of information out there on what's working. And as an independent artist, there's so many platforms, you know, you can be taking advantage of the blogs out there. You can be taking advantage of the different ways of sharing music and live streaming, or, you know, the different platforms of having patrons and all of these different things, depending on your goal, or the music licensing side of things, which, you know, I had already had success in music licensing, but it was just through songwriting. And so to see it for this side and be on the other side, it makes so much sense. This is a really good avenue for the independent artist as well. I think the biggest thing is just that you've got to show up, you've got to do the work, you've got to figure out what that work is, you've got to do the research on where is it that you want to go and who's doing it and how are they doing it and how can I get there and build your plan backwards. And then really show up, because we tend to be kind of well, I'm just going to do music and the rest will come as artists. And there's so much more to that. And you know, maybe not all are so like that, of course. Some are like really type A, and I'm not that either. So I'm somewhere in the middle there is where I land. But yeah, there's just something to be said for doing the work.
Yeah, that's great. And I think you are more type A than you believe. So be proud.
I don't know what type A is.
Yeah.
I don't know what the definition is. Because I'm always like, I'm not type A. And then people are like, type A like you. I was like, me? No.
That's so great.
I got to figure out what the definition of that is.
Yeah, whatever. Make it your own, right? Let's all make it our own. That's so great. And congratulations on all your new adventures. Further forays into the music industry and you know, how to basically be a success, you know, as an independent artist. And I think you've definitely achieved that. So thank you again much, Sonnet, for being part of this podcast. I so appreciate it.
You're welcome. It was really my pleasure. Thanks for letting me come on and share what I have. I hope it's helpful.
Thank you, Sonnet, for another great interview. I think type A's, type B's, or all the above will get a lot out of that. A lot of good information, advice from Sonnet's well-rounded experience in the music industry. So I hope you really enjoyed that as much as I did. So thus ends episode 4. I can't believe it's already been 4 episodes. If you haven't had a chance to hear episodes 1 through 3, I urge you to go back and listen. I think you'll really enjoy them. I hope you enjoy them. Again, we're musicjobspodcast.com. That's musicjobs with an S, podcast.com. We're also on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook. Let me give you Sonnet's information. You can reach Sonnet at sonnetsimmons.com, SonnetSimmons.com. Or you can follow her on the Instagram at Sonnet Music. And she also appears a lot on the Facebook group Six Figure Songwriting with Kathy Heller. So I would recommend you check that out too. Go join that group. There's a lot of good stuff going on there. I am your host, L. Ariel. You can reach me and my musical musings at lariel music.com. That's lariel music.com. I am also on social media platforms. So have a wonderful week. I hope to see you here again this time next week. And in the meantime, keep on hustling, pursue that dream, don't give up.